Okay, welcome back. This is Donna again, and we are on step three, which is streamline of our four steps to rhythm home study program. I hope you have completed steps one and two. I'm going to keep saying this because it really is no use to keep going if you haven't done the work so far, because this step builds on the last two steps. And if you don't have step one and step two, it's going to be really impossible for us to go through and do step three. So I just want to kind of give that caveat at the beginning. Okay, going forward, this is the fun step. This is the action step, the streamline step. This is where we take our challenges and things that we talked about back in step one, and we also look at the creation of your ideal rhythm and your values and where you want to go from step two. And we pave the road in between to start moving you down that pathway toward your end goal, which is your rhythmic day, your perfect ideal way of the flow of your family and your rhythms. So let's take a look at your worksheet back from step one, where you wrote out the three challenges, the three things that were stopping, or your top three things, reasons why you were not getting the rhythm or not having your rhythm, and that whole exercise that we did, what was holding you back. Okay, so these are your point A's, and this is where you currently are. We're going to work on these top three, but as I said, you can go through this program over again, and depending on where you are in 6 months, you know, start over, do the same work, go through the worksheets, and you'll find that you're in a different place, and you may have different things at that moment that are sort of your top priorities. And that's really what we're talking about here. To keep this thing simple, we want to take the top three priorities of your rhythm and your days, because we can't just say, all right, we're just going to wipe everything out and start all over. It's just too hard to do it that way. And if you've tried to do that in the past, that may be one of the reasons why you weren't able to keep that rhythm going or have failed in keeping a consistent rhythm or schedule. So we're going to do it in simple steps. And we want to take these top three challenges that you have or reasons, and we're going to look at this. All right. So when you look over that, you may think, oh, I've got my work cut out for me. But basically, you know, this is kind of where we are. So we've got that change, accountability, and that these action steps here. What we're going to do is work through this worksheet, and then we're going to transpose the information onto your action calendar. So let's take a look at a couple things that we can talk about in here. One thing that may be on your list is too much clutter and too much stuff. Decluttering can have a really big impact, and it also is a really good motivation. And it's also very tangible, and I don't want to say it's easy, but it's simple to just go through a stack or declutter a room. So if you see a lot of things all around you, I know I find it very distracting. That's one of my pet peeves, if you will. I find it really hard to like move throughout my day and do what I need to do. If I'm constantly eyeing up these places in my house that have stacks, piles, little bundles, big wads of toys, you know, mail, papers, you know, whatever it could be, laundry. And I find it really hard to kind of go about my day, because what I have the tendency to want to do, and maybe you do too, is to just stop what I'm doing and go fix that or clean that. If there's something that I just like, okay, I've got to just pick this up and finish this first. And that could really knock us off our rhythm and really cause you to feel like you're running around in circles all day. Now, I think decluttering is something that's sort of an ongoing process. You know, it's not like you're going to be done once you do it, because things pile up again. But as far as decluttering, I think there are a couple rules you might want to go by. And one thing is everything needs to have a place. Everything should have a home in your house. Because if it doesn't have a home, those are the things that sort of get like laid aside or, you know, just kind of shoved in a drawer here or there. And before too long, you have a lot of those little things. It really makes it hard. So, you know, if you don't really, if you aren't using it, whatever it might be, you don't absolutely love it, then it's time to, you know, pass it along to somebody who might, whether it's, you know, having a yard sale, taking it to a consignment shop, or donating it to somebody, you know, kind of get it out of the house. I know sometimes we make purchases and we feel, oh, we bought up, you know, the money that we spent on that, we need to keep it for, I'm sure I'm going to use that someday. I have done this so many times, kept things, and I had this one thing, for instance. I used to go to these antique fairs, this is before I had kids, and I saw this great little, it almost looked like a little bench, but the top was missing. And I thought, oh, I'm going to get a little piece of plywood, and I'm going to make my own little cushion, and I'm going to have this great little bench. And I'm telling you, I carried that thing from our move. I probably had that thing in our house for about 8 years, and it never changed. I never did anything with it. I thought about putting it in the garden and like growing, putting a little thing and growing flowers out of it. But as it turned out, I finally was like, you know what, just get this thing out of here, because I kept looking at it and thinking, oh, I really need to do something with that. I really need to do something with that. And it was like one more thing that was adding to my growing list of things I needed to do. And you know what? I thought, I don't need to do that. And guess what? I've not missed it. And, or maybe there's something someone gave you so you feel the obligation to have it. And I tell you, it's really very blocking. And I'm of the mentality, out with the old and in with the new. And I use that every time we do our closet cleanup. And I always tell my husband, he says, I don't have any shirts. I'm like, well, then what are all these shirts in your closet? Oh, none of those fit, or I don't like any of them. I'm saying, well, none's going to come, and I'm certainly not going to buy you any other shirt unless I see you don't have any shirts, because when I look in here, I see like 25 shirts, you know, so what is that? You've got to clear it out. You've got to pare it down. You've got to make space for something to come in, maybe that you actually really do need, something you really could be using, rather than hanging on to a lot of things that you may use someday or so like, but it doesn't really go with the feeling in your house, or you just, you know, it just doesn't seem to be doing it for you, whatever it is. And this could go for clothes, this could go for toys, books, you know, any items all around the house. I'm sure you know what I mean. And I think for me, decluttering is a way to kind of like visually clear my space and then go, ah, it's one of those stepping stones. It's one of those doable, simple steps that I can, you know, I can take an hour. I can take 10 minutes even. You'd be amazed at how much you can get done by setting a timer and going for it. I got this great resource. Since I had a kitchen timer that never really worked, I got this thing called the Time Timer on my iPod, and I'm sure you've probably, or iPhone, I'm sure there's some on there already, or you've got one. I mean, and you can literally just set that thing for 15 minutes, whatever, and you'll be amazed if you just focus on this one task and don't answer the phone, don't do anything else, you can knock things out really fast, things that have been sitting around for, you know, weeks, maybe even months. So if you've got things around your household that you like see every day, that's very in your visual line, I don't mean things stacked up in the closets, and you may have those too, but things that you're like looking at every day that kind of, I get really like, I know this sounds weird, but almost like nervous and anxious, like, oh, I got this pile over here or whatever. If you haven't heard of my recovering type A personality, dysfunction, anyway, you know, if you have decluttering as one of your simple steps or one thing that's really driving you crazy and you can't seem to make it, you know, through anything and there's just big piles, you know, set a timer, set a goal to do, you know, don't try to do the whole house. I want you to take out your action step sheet and pick one small area. If it's your office, if it's the kids' room, you know, look at that and just put doable step. Declutter or clear out kids' room, you know, and then your date to put it on there. So this is, I'm just looking at the steps here. Pick one spot, you know, pick, like I said, the top place or some place that's really you know, one that will make a big impact on you. Again, it's sort of like this losing a few pounds. Oh, wow, this looks great. That's going to make me want to do it again. Now I'm going to do, next Saturday, I'm going to do this room. You know, so you're inspired to kind of keep going. And it's that motivation we talked about. Okay, I want you to really think simplicity here. Less is more. Paring down, again, as we talked about, you know, all of the decluttering. And as we're going through this whole rhythm, I mean, really it is about having, you know, just what we need, not an excess of anything, whether it's clutter around the house or things that are on our schedule, things that we have to do. You know, the simpler, the better. Also take stock of what you might be needing that could help you in your day-to-day flow as you're going around or decluttering. And that could be things like organizational items, like a big basket at the front door where everybody puts their shoes when they come in and you can close the lid. That could be another visual nightmare if you walk by and see that all the time and it's like, ah. So little things like that, or maybe you need some new baskets for your children's toys, or maybe they've gotten some bigger things and you don't have something to house that. So kind of as you're going through and decluttering, and then something may come as you donate some of the stuff out. We do a big thing at the consignment. We have this great consignment shop, right? Really, literally, I can ride my bike kind of behind our house. And we take stuff all the time over there. And then I go in there and get stuff I actually do need and want. It's amazing. And it's great. It's like a big recycle. Out with the old and in with the new. And so donate, recycle, or trash those things that are kind of making just kind of blocking you up. So it's, you know, going through these action items and looking at your list of what you need to do. Maybe it's bedtime. You know, maybe your bedtime is really just not where it wants to be, and that's a big challenge. So, again, you've got to kind of look at that and say, okay, what can I do? What's one thing I want to do? Maybe we're not eating dinner early enough. And if we ate dinner 30 minutes early, that would give time to, you know, have a proper bath afterward and a little story time, and my husband or your spouse would have time to have a little play time and then also a little downtime before they go off to bed. You know, it's hard for me to name every situation and what you've got. You've got to really look at what you've got written down there as your challenge or as your thing where it's stuck and get really creative and think, what can I do? What would be one small step that would help alleviate this? You know, if it's knowledge and you're like, I'm not really sure what I need to do in the mornings with my young children, you know, what can I do? What is, maybe there, people are talking about circle time, or maybe there's, you know, some kind of little games and things I want to do. So that could be what you've got. So, you know, put it on your action step guide here to find some resources, look at some, you know, books, find something from the library, talk to other mothers. What can I do? Make that plan and say, here's where I want to go with it. This is my goal. So what do I need to get to? How do I need to, where can I start? Start asking around. Like I said, it's hard for me to kind of go through and because I don't know what you've got on the paper and there's so many options that it could be, but I'm just trying to name some of the big ones that I've heard in the past. You know, if it's about discipline and my kids aren't listening and that kind of thing, we're going to talk about something here in just a minute. In fact, let's start talking about realistic expectations. Here's something else. You may think, doesn't kind of go along with what I'm going to talk about here, like realistic expectations of our children, but honestly, it really does. And we explore this fully in the Elements of Early Childhood program that I offer at the Waldorf Connection. We really go into depth in what a child can do developmentally and at different specific ages. But I want to touch on that here because if we think that our child should be doing something or can do it and then they don't, it can be a, you know, a source of great frustration and exasperation. And we think they're being defiant and ignoring us or not listening. But many times we are just asking them to do something that they're not yet capable of doing. And that is, I found this very interesting when we went through this program. There is a PDF that is included in your workbook, and it has on it the kind of ages and stages of what you know, where the children are, their chore schedule. I've got here ages and chore schedule, but basically it kind of gives you an idea of what they can help and what they can be doing around the house, helping out. And I'm going to go through this just briefly because you've got the PDF there. You know, a seven-year-old is still unable to complete chores on her own and must be told repeatedly and prodded along. Even a nine-year-old still needs firm reminding. So if you're expecting your five-year-old to be going off and doing their chores on their own, I mean, it's just not going to happen. And I think if we are more realistic with what the children can do, that it changes our perception. And it's not to, like, get them off the hook or say, oh, they can't help around the house, because that's totally not true. But I think it's the way we look at it is if they, oh, they're just trying to make me crazy, rather than, you know, not looking at it that way, but making it as, okay, they need a little help with this. You know, I'll just have it. Maybe I can put a note up. We did this before my children could even read, is I made pictures of their chores and hung them on the refrigerator. Well, actually, I had them make the pictures, which was even better because they loved it. And what I did, we have like rotating chores, and we still do this. Every week, their chores change. We just switch. And I glued the little pictures onto the back of some simple little magnets. So when it comes time for the week to change, I just switch the names back and forth. And now this week, this person gets to do this, and the other person gets to do that. And then we can change. And they, of course, we usually change them once a year when I know they're old enough and things have changed, or I just think they need to be doing something else or a little bit something more, you know, on their own or a little bit more involved as they grow. But this list kind of gives you an idea of what they can start doing. And, you know, when they're 3 and 4, they really want to help and they can start helping, but not consistently. They may play alongside you, you know, while you fold the laundry. You know, if you can give, offer them a child-sized broom or some small tools, then they can begin to imitate your actions. At 5, you know, they'll start to participate a little bit more, but still just weaving in and out of playing or not wanting to do it and then wanting to do it. When they turn 6, they can begin to do a little bit more, and you can really show them, and they surprise you sometimes and really are able to do a lot. And at 7, again, a little bit more on their own, but with some prompting. At 8 and 9, they're really closer to doing things on their own and having ownership of it. And I've got a list here of the things that can be done, the actual, some things they can do between 4 and 6, folding the laundry, helping unload the dishwasher, dry the dishes, and that kind of thing. A real good reference is the Gazelle Institute book on child development. I got that out of the library, so they probably are readily available. It's the Gazelle, G-E-S-E-L-L is how you spell it, on child development there. So that'll give you an idea as far as, you know, something to, at least to gauge by, so that you're not totally thinking that they're over here when they're really not. Because sometimes it seems like they're very mature. They're speaking in words that sound like they really know what they're talking about. But don't forget, they're in that imitation period where they're just imitating. I remember this phase where my children, I don't remember how old they were. I can't remember the age. They might have been 5 or so. And they were saying things that I was like, wow. You know, I thought I had these brilliant children. And I thought, wow, I mean, they really get this. And then one day I thought, I can't imagine that they really know what that means. I wish I could remember what the word was. And I stopped and said, hey, do you guys know what that means? And they were like, no, what does it mean? They were so interested. They wanted to know what it meant. They had no idea what it meant, yet they used it correctly in the sentence. They used it correctly, you know, at the time it was meant to be said, the right inflections in their voice. So you really think they're getting things. They don't totally get it. And just because it comes out of their mouth does not mean they understand. Just want to throw that in there too. Okay, so back to our action steps. So you've got some action steps in front of you. I'm hoping you're filling these out. And then I want you to transpose these over to the calendar. Pick the three top, as we just been talking about this. And what's one step, one thing you can do to get you closer, make one small change, one simple step toward that. And I want you to put that onto your calendar so that you will make sure that you follow up and it does get done. And again, make these simple steps, nothing that's going to be, you know, really, really hard where you go, oh, I'm never going to be able to do that. It has to be, I want you to get you going. Again, you can repeat these steps and then go further. Like you may do the bedtime routine and you might say, okay, we're going to work on bedtime. You know, old bedtime routine, it could be a huge thing and you might only get one small step of that done. And that would be, like I said earlier, okay, instead of having dinner at 6:30, we're going to have dinner at 6. And that might really be one step. Then once you get that down, you can go back and say, okay, I think we're having the story time is too long. We're reading stories and doing the whole thing. It's taking an hour. It's just too long. So let's try to make that 30 minutes. And then you go to the next step. So this is kind of what I mean. And I've got this action step follow-up sheet, too, where you'll come back and revisit and say, okay, what's working here and what else can we do? Can get me even closer. Or maybe whatever you try just does not work at all. And you say, okay, that is just sort of a glorious failure there. And I am not going to, you know, we got to try something else. So, you know, it doesn't always work the first time. But if you chip away and get, you know, and just get little simple steps going, you'll start to see these changes. You'll be motivated and say, ah, oh, just as in losing the few pounds when your pants sort of loosen up on you a little bit. You're like, all right, it's working. And you'll start to see yourself feel a little more peaceful. You'll start to feel like you're a little more in control of what's going on. Your confidence is going to boost up a little bit, and your children are going to see that as well. And their day is going to start to flow a little better, so things can start automatically turning around, which is very helpful to you to, you know, keep going and do more and more of this refining in these simple steps. Okay, I hope you're working on your action steps and are writing down your three top three thing and putting them onto your calendar so that you've got it right there. I am going to end with step three here, and we're going to move on to step four, which is probably one of the most important steps, and that is to empower you. So I will see you over on session for step four.